Dhritarashtra. So these insulting words, they're actually very painful. And it's described that for the common people in the world, they have done a survey, that the greatest fear of everyone is fear of public speaking. Because you can get critical words and they're afraid of what you're going to say about them. So this is a great fear that people have, this fear of criticism, of painful words. So the Lord, as we heard already, he's feeling, he has feelings. And so he was feeling pained by these critical words, insulting words, especially for a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya cannot tolerate if somebody criticizes him and says, oh, you're a coward, you're fleeing from the battle. So that's what Hiranyaksha was criticizing the Lord. But the Lord didn't care because he was doing his duty. He was doing his duty of protecting the earth, and he didn't care whatever the demon said or whatever he thought about him. And so Arjuna, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he was hesitating to do his duty because he was afraid of the pain. There was some pain in killing his kinsmen, so he didn't want to do his duty. So Krishna had to convince him that yes, even though your duty is painful, you have to tolerate. Attempts to teach of the Bharata, I know you're feeling this pain, but doing your duty you have to tolerate. The father of Krishna, Vasudev, he had a very painful duty. He had to deliver all of his newborn sons to Kamsa to be killed by Kamsa, but he did not hesitate. He did his duty. Why he didn't mind? Because he was very anxious for Krishna to come. And so he didn't mind sacrificing all his children just so that Krishna would appear. And so in the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna had to sacrifice his relatives for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is very painful. For us, death, I mean for everybody, everybody is afraid of death. And actually, when Lord Bhara first appeared, he roared like a huge mountain, and when they heard this roar, all the sages in the higher planets, Jana, Tapa, Satya, they chanted very auspicious prayers from the three Vedas. So this is another type of sound, the sound of the boar. And for this Hiranyaksha, that sound meant death. So sound is also like, also when Hiranyakashipu was challenging, about to kill Pralad Maharaj, then the sound of the cracking of the pillars and Nrsingadev coming out, he made a huge sound. So sound is very, very important for us. We can get liberation by sound. Liberation by sound. So first of all, before I talk about that, I'd like to talk about four types of annihilation. There is four types of annihilation described in Canto 12. Srimad Bhagavatam. The first one is called Naimittika, or occasional annihilation. And this is when Lord Narayan lies down on Shesha and he takes the entire universe inside while Lord Brahma sleeps. And Lord Brahma goes to sleep, then that's another type of, one type of annihilation. That's called Naimittika. That's occasional. Sometimes it happens, just when Brahma goes to sleep. And even sometimes there is an annihilation after the Manus, after each Manu. There was such an annihilation before our present Manu, Vaivasvata Manu. So first type is Naimittika, occasional. Second is Prakritika. That's the final annihilation. All the elements are finished and they go into Prakriti and the whole universe is destroyed. So this is all the energies of the Lord go back into him and are disassembled and deprived of their potencies and they merge totally. And this is when Vishnu takes a breath. As soon as Vishnu breathes in, all the universes are finished. When he breathes out, everything is created. So imagine the time. That's the time of Brahma's life. Brahma's life is some trillions of years. 311 trillion years. So if you want to measure the breath of Vishnu, that's the breath of Vishnu, half a breath. That's when he breathes out, that's the creation. When he breathes in, well, that's the annihilation. So just imagine, we cannot compare. Who can compare with the breath of Vishnu? We breathe in and nothing happens. Yeah. Of course, Varaha came from the breath of Brahma also. He breathed out and Varaha came. It's described that when he took the Vedas, he breathed in the Vedas and out came Varaha, who is the personification of the Vedas. And Lord Brahma breathed out. That's in the previous chapter. So two kinds of annihilation. That is when the universe is destroyed and when Brahma sleeps. Now there's a third kind, which is nitya, which is constant. It's constantly going on. Creation and annihilation is constantly going on, like there's our birth and death. But also even now, creation and annihilation is going on in our body. Some cells are born, some cells are dying. And you can't really see it. You can't see it happening. If you look, it looks like the body is constant. Looks the same, except when you get old, and then every day you see something new in the mirror, a new wrinkle here, a new wrinkle there. But when you're normally in your life, you don't see this change. The fire is an example of one of our 24 gurus in Uddhava Gita. So how is it that we can learn from the fire that the body is always changing, but the soul remains the same? If you have a candle, and the candle is burning, then the flame looks the same, like it's when you watch the candle. It looks the same to you, but actually it's different. There's different particles of the wax are being burnt. It's not the same particles. It's different ones that are being burnt every second. So at the same time, our body, it's different. Every second it's changing. So this is called constant annihilation. So we're experiencing death at every second, actually. We don't experience it, but it's happening. We're not aware of it, but it's happening, just like a candle is like. And another example is the waves of a river. They look like the same. It looks like the same water, but it's always changing every second. As the water passes before you, it's different water. It's not the same. So that's how our body is. It's always being annihilated. And the fourth, the permanent ultimate annihilation, is when our false ego is cut off with the sword of knowledge and we realize Krishna. Self-realization, that's the final annihilation. And after that, no more annihilation, no more death. When we realize that we are servant of Krishna, we have self-realization, adhyantika, this is the ultimate annihilation. So how can we experience this? By sound. Sound is so powerful. Here this demon is using sound to try to irritate the Lord. And it's a bit painful. But we can also get liberation by sound. And that's the Vedanta Sutra says, anavritti shabdat, that the final annihilation is by sound. So this entire world, this entire creation began from sound. And sound can also end our material entanglement. It has a potency. It has a power. So the sound, Prabhupada, in one purport, he says, the particular sound capable of doing, of liberating us, is the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna. Liberation by sound. So we can get free by chanting Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada says our entanglement in this world began from material sound. From material sound, we're entangled. So now we have to purify the material sound. And because there is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins. So, Golokya Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That Harinam is coming from Goloka. One time somebody asked me the question, do the gopis chant Hare Krishna? And I said, where do you think it's coming from? Where do you think this Harinam is coming from? It's not something that's made up. All of us, of course, Lord Chaitanya gave it to us, but it's coming from the spiritual world. And if we take advantage, then we can also purify ourselves and realize who we are. So this is the This is what's going on here. We're having some material sound coming from the mouth of the demon. And but when Varaha roared, he also, it was the roar of a hog. Now, usually you think the roar of a hog is not going to be, it's going to be material sound. In Vrindavan, we have hogs. They don't roar much. They're just sleeping in the garbage. But Varaha, when he came, he roared. And this sound was the same as the Vedas, because what happened when he roared, all the intelligent, all the sages on the higher planets, they responded with the Vedic hymns. So this is proof that all the incarnations of Krishna, they're transcendental. Even if Krishna comes in the form of a hog, still it's transcendental, and the sound is transcendental. The sound of the hog, Varaha, was transcendental sound. So the sages understood, this is spiritual sound, vibration, and they responded with the Vedic hymns. So they were very happy. Bhrigu and Brahma's other sons, or learned Brahmins, they were enlivened when they heard the roar of Varaha, and they all started joining in praising the Lord. And Prabhupada said, of all the chants from the Vedas, the most important is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first point is sound. And the second point Prabhupada brings up in the purport was he was merciful to his enemy by neglecting him. So, yes, that is our mercy. Why is it mercy if we neglect someone who blasphemes the Lord? Because if we allow them to speak, then they will create offenses for themselves and for us. We'll hear the offense, and they will also go down. So therefore, the offense to the holy name is to preach to the faithless person. But we should preach to the innocent. The Madhya Madhikari, he has four different relationships. He loves the Lord, he's friends with the devotees, and he tries to uplift the innocent people. He preaches to them, and he neglects the atheists. So he couldn't preach here to Hiranyaksha. There is no preaching to going on here with this demon. So he neglected him when he was challenging and offending him. So this is mercy. This is the mercy of the Lord. Now there's another mercy which comes. There's two kinds of mercy of the Lord. One is when the thunderbolt, and the other is the rose. Prabhupada had those two kinds of mercy too. When I was pujari, sometimes he would chastise us. The ghee lamp, we had these big, huge ghee lamps in Calcutta because electricity was going out all the time, so we had to light ghee lamps. And one time Prabhupada said, "Why is the ghee lamp so dirty? Who has done this?" And then he always picks us up, whoever has done it, he goes right to the person who's responsible. And then we have to stay there and take the chastisement. But also he would praise us too. So for the devotees, there's the conch shell and the lotus flower. We had many, many flowers in Calcutta. Every day I had 50 garlands donated for Radha Govinda and Jagannath, Gaur Radha Govinda. And we were changing flowers five times a day. So Srila Prabhupada, what would happen, in the back of the deities, there was an open window. And every day, on Radha Govinda's side, two big bumblebees would come, and they would circumambulate the deities, and they would sit in the lotus flowers. We had 12 dozen lotus flowers, 12 dozen roses every day. And so big, big lotus flowers, like you have here, but we had much bigger ones. We had very big, like your head, big lotus flowers. So these bees were coming on Radha Govinda's side, and on Jagannath's side, small, small bees would come, and they would sit on the garlands, just like descriptions of Vaikuntha. So one side we had Vaikuntha, and one side we had Goloka. We had Vrindavan. Vrindavan, where the bumblebees were coming. So Prabhupada commented, he said, when the bees are coming to the deities, then the deities are pleased with the worship. And so, yeah, but you don't have a back window. I don't think you have bees in Melbourne anyway. I don't know. We had bees in Calcutta. It was Calcutta. So amazingly enough, those bees were coming. So this is mercy. The Lord, Prabhupada, was very merciful. The Lord is merciful. There's a word for his mercy in Bhagavatam, and it's mentioned actually when in the verse about Varaha roaring, that there was, it was his mercy that he roared. And mercy, has, it's the name, the Sanskrit word is maya, maya. Maya, maya. Usually maya is not mercy. But in this case, it's mercy. And what is the meaning? Maya means affection and also illusion. So it can be illusion or it can be affection. When a mother deals with her child affectionately, then it's called maya, maya. So whenever the Lord comes, he's affectionate to his devotees. So in this case, he was affectionate to the earth, very affectionate to the devotees. And he's delivering her, even though this demon is giving him so much trouble. Deeply merciful. And so another a meaning of this, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, maya mayam is maya and amayam. This means because we are covered by illusion, maya, the Lord is always eager to deliver us. Amaya. He's trying to get us out of maya and cure our disease. And so we need to be aware of Krishna when he comes. When we chant the holy name, we have to be receptive and try to hear what is Krishna telling me. When we read the books, we should pray, what is, please give me something that is relevant for my life. And when we read, it's not we just read. That's theory. We need to apply what we read to our lives. There's a principle and then there's behavior. If you accept certain principles, then you will follow a certain behavior. So we're all devotees of Krishna. We're accepting the principle. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our behavior will be that we will have a service attitude. We will want to serve him. So the Lord is very merciful. Another way, he is appreciated by Lakshmi Devi. Because how is he merciful? He's giving us our senses. He's controlling our mind, our body, and our intelligence. And he's the only enjoyer of the results of our body, mind, and senses. And that's why we should offer everything to him. There is a nice verse in 6th canto, 13th chapter, I believe. And it says that, a very interesting verse, it's praising Lakshmi and Narayan. It says, Narayan is the Lord in the heart, and Lakshmi is the expansion of our senses. So if we try to enjoy our senses, we're trying to enjoy Lakshmi. It's not us. This body doesn't belong, it's not us, it's an expansion of Lakshmi. Expansion of the energy of the Lord. And so therefore, we should realize that he's the controller. He's the controller of our body, our mind, our intelligence. And the five sense objects, the senses, they're all manifestations of him. As we said, this whole universal form is a part of his transcendental body. Now, the universal form is covering his transcendental body, but we are all a part of it. Just like in our body, we have cells, and each cell has a purpose to nourish the body. So each of us, we're like cells in the universal body of the Lord, and we're meant to serve him. We have a service for him. And if we actually fulfill the purpose of our life, then he'll be pleased and we'll be happy too. So Pradyumna is the husband of Lakshmi. She's praying to him. He's a form of Vishnu. And he's giving us all our necessities. He's giving us our mental ability. Everything is none different from him. So this is also another meaning of maya, mayam. And it's good if we appreciate the Lord. Say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me the ability to think of you, to worship you. I was doing a seminar in one of the cities, I can't remember, Brisbane, yeah. And I was telling the devotees, now tomorrow you should be grateful to the Lord for something that he's doing for you. And so one young boy said, I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, because usually I can't wake up. And then I also said, you can ask permission of the Lord. And another young boy said, yeah, I ask permission to sleep 10 minutes more. So so you should ask permission whatever you do. So yeah, our guru kulis are doing their homework. So but it's very helpful somehow or other to think of the Lord during your day. Ask permission before you do something. Be grateful. Thank the Lord for giving you all the things. And if you're grateful, you'll never be depressed. You'll never be unhappy. This is the best thing to counteract depression. So how is he merciful? Sometimes he chastises, sometimes he takes everything away, just like Bali Maharaj. He was a demon and he took everything away from him because he was forgetting his loving service to the Lord. He was thinking, I am king of heaven, I am Indra, I will control. So Vamanadeva took everything away from Bali Maharaj. So that's another kind of mercy of the Lord. He takes away or he gives us. Two kinds of mercy. So two kinds of opulence also. One is what the karmi has. According to our past activities, we get some material opulence. But the opulence of the devotee is very special. It's given by the Lord himself. Because the devotee, he doesn't want any opulence for himself. He wants to use it for the Lord's service. Just like Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati instructed Śrīla Prabhupāda, if you ever get money, print books. So that was one instruction he gave. So this was in the early days, I think there was a lot of money given to BBT and stuff like that. I can't remember. So it was like in America. I don't know, Australia is different. But in America there was big book distribution. And so, yes, Prabhupada trained us right from the beginning that not to think that anything is ours. It was so funny. I was doing book distribution in Juhu Beach. And so much money was going through my hands. The astrologer said, oh, you have lakhs of rupees. I said, yeah, but it's not mine. It's not my money. I said, you're supposed to be really rich. I said, yeah, right. I'm rich because I belong to Krishna. And he belongs to me. So I have Krishna, so therefore I'm very rich. But it's not as far as money goes. Because it's passing through my hands. Like the Brahmin, he doesn't keep money, so whatever money he gets, he spends. So, yes, you might be rich, but in the same day, you can spend all the money you get. It's very easy nowadays. And so we depend on Krishna, his mercy, and his greatest mercy, of course, is the holy name. In the next verse, I'm not going to talk much about it, because somebody is going to speak tomorrow. But what happened after this happened, then Brahma came and he started praising Varaha. And the other demigods came and they were starting to throw flowers because the Lord had just saved the earth and they were so happy. Brahma, it was a big problem for Brahma. He's creating and all of a sudden, you know, just imagine. You're the engineer of a building and all of a sudden the roof, the whole building falls somewhere. A hole opens in the earth and the building sinks in and disappears. So Brahma was creating. He had the earth and all of a sudden the earth fell to the bottom of the ocean. He couldn't even see it. It was the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. So the demigods were so happy when they saw the Lord picked up the earth and he's going to make it float. And so they started to glorify, throwing flowers, beating drums, praying. Brahma started to pray. And this is the perfection of our life. This is also our duty to glorify the Lord and to make spiritual sound, not material sound, not pajalpa, but spiritual sound. So whatever ability we have, it can be used to glorify the Lord. Śrīla Prabhupāda said the scientists can glorify the Lord, and now some of them are starting to do that, whereas others are going their demoniac way. I just saw a recent post on the internet that now the scientists are so imaginative. People are avoiding the vaccinations. So they're going to put the vaccinations in bananas. So every time you eat a banana, you get a vaccination. You get a vaccine against something. And they said, oh, this will be so wonderful. They can just go pick it from the tree and get their vaccination. Of course, the vaccinations are poisonous. So they are doing works to destroy the world. It's still going on. Destroy people's health, destroy the world. But the real scientist, he will glorify the Lord, just like our scientists in ISKCON, and some other ones are catching on now, talking about consciousness. So glorification is very, very powerful. The sound of the holy name, the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, is very powerful. There's a verse, Ayur Harati Vaipunsam, Udyana Stanchayana Sau, Dasarta Yakshano Nita Uttama Sloka Vartaya. That every time the sun rises and sets, it decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who is discussing the topics of the Lord. So in Bhagavatam class, it's very interesting. The original Bhagavatam class was in Naimisharanya with the sages. And guess who they invited to class? Yamaraj. And they said, as long as Yamaraj is here, then no one will die in this class. So that's why it's good to come to Bhagavatam class. At least you're safe while Bhagavatam is going on, because Yamaraj likes to hear katha. He comes for Bhagavat katha. Whenever there's Bhagavatam class, Yamaraj is here. When we were discussing this verse in our Bhakti Vaibhav course, and Bharijan said, yes, maybe one of you is Yamaraj here. Yes, we never know. And so there is a verse from Bhagavatam in 1st Canto, 16th chapter. Ho niloka pieta hari lilamrita vacha. So Yamaraj, it's not to be feared by the devotees. You just listen to Bhagavatam. Nriloke, all you human beings, listen, Hari Lilamrita, and you will not meet death. So this is for the human beings especially. Srimad Bhagavatam is there. And some people may say, well, devotees, I see devotees are dying and others are dying. But it's not the same. I've seen, because people come to Vrindavan and die, it's not the same. As when an ordinary person dies, he's like the rat in the mouth of the cat, and he's feeling great fear and insecurity. But the devotee, he's seeing Krishna come, Lord Chaitanya is coming, Prabhupada is coming, and he's very happy. He's like the kitten in the mouth of the cat. So this is the death for devotees. It's not death, because eternal life will begin. So we should perceive the truth that now we have become devotees, our death is stopped. Where Prabhupada said, but don't fall down and again capture death. So if we chant Hare Krishna, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and we study Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then we have no more fear of death. So Prabhupada is always urging us to do these things, so let us continue and serve Srila Prabhupada and please Krishna. Hare Krishna. You have any questions or comments? You can ask at this point. Or additions? Yes, Prabhu.
Mataji, you were mentioning before how you got asked that question, how the gopis, do the gopis actually chant Hare Krishna? Can you elaborate a little bit on that? I mean, we're supposed to be chanting 24/7.
Right. Okay, so his question is about the gopis chanting Hare Krishna. Is it constantly there? There is a mark on the lotus feet of Radharani, the earring. There's a mark, an earring. And the mark symbolizes that she is always hearing the name of Krishna. So it is going on constantly in their consciousness, but they're also chanting externally, and the proof of that is in Krishna book. When Krishna left the gopis from the rasa dance, then if you read chapter 31, the end of chapter 31, it said the gopis all started chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said, out of separation from Krishna, that they were chanting Hare Krishna. So not only are they, I mean, they weren't chanting japa, but they were chanting kirtan. They were having kirtan, singing. And then, yes, then they were singing his, first they were singing all these beautiful prayers, songs of the gopis, Gopi Geet. And at the end of Gopi Geet, that chapter, Prabhupada says they were chanting Hare Krishna. So the two go together. They're describing Krishna's qualities, and they were also chanting Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has said that Sankirtan includes speaking Bhagavatam, as well as chanting Hare Krishna. The two are this is also Sankirtan. Yeah, Prabhupada has in his explanations of verses and purports in the lectures, he has said that Sankirtan means also Bhagavatam. So yes, they were chanting Hare Krishna. You can look it up in Krishna book. Because sometimes they think it's just here. What are they doing? And so who was it that it is? It's Radharani's mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's Radharani's mantra. Lord Chaitanya's, that's why he's chanting. He's in the mood of Radharani.
So, yeah. So if we're supposed to be continually focusing and meditating on the holy name.
Yes.
But we have our activities in our daily life, we have conversations and so on and so forth.
Right.
As we advance in Krishna consciousness, does the mantra stay as a subliminal background?
So the question is, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, now it's difficult to always be chanting Hare Krishna, but later on will it be like something going on completely? Well, that was the experience with Srila Prabhupada, that so I have heard, that he told one reporter to listen, and the reporter could hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from his, even though he wasn't saying it. I've heard different stories like that about Srila Prabhupada. And I met one yogi lady in Vrindavan who also had that ability. She was living near the temple. I mean, she might still be alive. And she was practicing Kapila Dev's Sankhya Yoga system. And she was doing actually all the four yugas. She was doing Ashtanga Yoga in her, she had an ashram. She was doing Ashtanga Yoga. She was doing 24-hour fire sacrifice. She was chanting Hare Krishna. She was doing all of the, and deity worship, everything. All the four yugas were in her ashram. So one time I asked her, I said, so if she's, and she's born in Mayapur. And I said, so if you know, and she said, Hare Krishna is the highest. So if you know that chanting the holy name is the highest, why are you doing all these other things? She said, yeah, it helps me concentrate when I do the Ashtanga Yoga. She had mystic powers. People would come to her for cures from disease and stuff. And then she told me also, she said, yes, every cell is chanting. In my body, it's, and she had me put my hand on her throat and I could feel something, even when she wasn't talking. She says, yes, I'm chanting always. Anyway, I don't know if that's proof enough, but it seems like it does happen that way, that when you are... now, as personally myself, it's not like that, but because I'm a musician, that sometimes I hear the kirtan. You know, it's some, you hear your mind, but if you're a musician, you hear kirtan. Sometimes different kirtans, different melodies come in your mind automatically. And I would just be doing something and then the kirtan will be going on. I'll say, oh, that's a nice melody. If you're a musician, then that happens, at least, yeah, because I was a musician. But, so it's quite possible, I would say, that, you know, the chanting would be going on in your, it's not like 24-hour kirtan would be nice, but sometimes it'll come. It just comes like that. Especially if, see, what you do before you go to sleep has an effect of what you dream of and when you wake up, what's in your mind. So sometimes I try to go to kirtan before I sleep in the Vrindavan. And then I wake up, in the night I hear the kirtan, or in the morning I'll hear it. The kirtan will be in my head. And so that's, and Prabhupada, he encouraged us to read Krishna book before we sleep. He said, then you will dream of Krishna. Then you will dream of Krishna at night. Yeah. Another question? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.